Recording in progress. Okay. Thank you, Eugene, for reminding me. And in doing that, in leaving things at the door of the shrine and coming in with a little bit more, a bit more loose, at least if not on the outside, even if you keep your shoes on, even if you keep your hair, barrettes, it's not about that, is it? But feel now in the shrine that you can let things be free to come, to go, to linger, to intensify. And when I say things, I mean your experience, whatever it may be, moment by moment. The shrine is a playground, basically. Remember maybe years and years ago when there was a moment, a miraculous moment where you were somewhere, a playground, a beach, and it was easy and the temperature was perfect and the sounds of other children playing, maybe birds, carefree. That's the feeling in the shrine. That's the setting. Doesn't mean that, you know, there may still be, obviously, feelings, sensations that don't match the blue sky. But at least they're surrounded with the blue sky. At least they're surrounded with an atmosphere of spaciousness. So as your experience surfaces, just feel that you invite it to taste this atmosphere. This atmosphere of welcoming. And you know, when you're on the beach on a lovely, easeful afternoon, you're not really focusing on this or that. It's a bit like an impressionistic painting. Everything kind of blends. Your feet are dipping into the shallow waves and you're hearing the sounds of the waves, of voices, happy voices on the beach, blending with the air on your skin. And your thoughts are kind of loose. You're not focusing on a train of thought. You're kind of in between, waking and dreaming. And your body, your feelings and sensations are kind of flowing. That's the invitation right now. And if something draws you in because it's a kind of tension or resistance, and therefore it has a kind of magnetic power, don't feel you have to resist it. Just let your attention move towards the resistance, towards the sensation of lack or fear or agitation or thinkingness. But keep a pulse on the background, on the spaciousness all around. Don't lose your foothold. Don't lose contact with the totality. So yes, there's a resistance, a contraction, a fear maybe. And at the same time, there's the sound of Ellen's voice. There's the sensation of my body on the earth, the air on my skin, the sounds beyond the walls of my shrine. So don't lose connection with the field that holds every experience. The world doesn't stop because there's a resistance or a fear. The universe, the cosmos, the stars, everything keeps going, keeps unfolding, and somehow that contraction, that fear, that tension belongs to the totality. And the totality is taken care of moment by moment. And all is well and unfolding as it should. Nothing needs to change. Feel your body and say to your body quietly, nothing needs to change, body. Feel that the sensations, the tinglings, the dance called the body is allowed. And it's always the case, but somehow we superimpose an agenda on our body, on our feeling. The mind labels, compares, and does all the things that a mind does, thinking does. Let's see if you can say to the body, we're not doing any thinking about you, body. We're just welcoming you. Fresh, raw, direct. And we're welcoming the thoughts too. You can tell the body sensation, look, you have siblings called thoughts. And you can tell the thoughts, look, you've got siblings called bodily sensations. And you can tell the thoughts and the sensations, look, you've got siblings called sounds and visual perceptions. You're all my children, you can tell the thoughts and the sensations and the sense perceptions. You can play together in me right this moment. Me, I am pure openness. I don't choose, I don't exclude, I don't have a preference. Take your time reclaiming your lost children. Meaning, take your time allowing that particular sensation that is surfacing. And then this one, and then this one. Until you reclaim your habit of welcoming the totality of your experience, which is really effortless. When we take our stand, in presence, and the body presents lots of layers that need to be reclaimed somehow, because they were kidnapped by separation. So let's go on a little walk around. Feel your body. Feel, for example, the touch of your clothes on your skin. For no reason. Just feel the tingling, the texture. And you have, I said the words, but then forget the words, just the raw sensation. And now feel the place that we call weight, the place where the body meets the ground, the earth. So feel your pelvis, feel your hips, feel your hands, your arms. And feel the habit of holding and just switch. Switch to surrendering the weight. The habit of separation is holding the weight. Now switch, surrendering the weight. Feel your hips, your legs, and the earth. Give your legs to the earth. Give your arms to the earth. You don't live in a mechanical body, so it's not difficult. The body is unfolding in you arms and legs are rivers, they're rivers. Now feel your head. Just feel your head, but you don't visualize, you don't think head, just feel head, top of your head. Can you feel it? Maybe there's a little tingling sensation there. Then feel beyond the top of the head. Just imagine you can and you can. Then push the top of the head, the tingling sensation of the top of the head towards the ceiling. And see what happens. Very gentle push. At the same time, let the rivers of arms and legs flow down. And then don't push. Feel your whole body. And then feel the field, the space that surrounds the body. That is you, and tell body, hey, look, relax. Relax, you're made out of me. And then push the top of the head a little bit more and let the arms and legs go a little bit more. And then stop. And feel the whole body. And feel that the edges of the body are maybe a little bit more porous. It's safe, I promise you. In the shrine, at least, it's guaranteed safe. Experiment with a body that is porous, weightless. Yes, go for it. Go for it, and you will feel layers come to the surface that protest. And you go very gently with those layers. You say, look, nothing to fear, sweetheart. You can still be here. You can say, tell what you have to tell. You say that to the fear that rises out or up in your chest, in your heart, in your belly. You say, I'm listening to you. But in exchange, you also must listen to the openness all around you. You tell me your story, I tell you mine. We discover something. No rush. Feel your breath. What's happening with the shoulders, with your belly? Is she allowed, the belly, to move with the in-breath? Just go and listen with your tactile listening to the belly and the breath. You just listen, don't do anything, no agenda. You sit there and you listen, belly, breath. So many agendas, right? So I say no agenda, but you let the agendas surface, they will. I want the belly to be free. I want to control the breath. I don't like the feeling that I feel in my belly. I don't think my breath is good enough. That's the story that has been told, and you just listen, you allow. Yes, and again, the top of the head pushing a bit. Feel your spine elongating more. You don't know how long your spine is. Imagine it's very long. Top of the head touching the ceiling. Yes, and now gently feel your shoulders and let them float up towards your ears. It's the first time, no memory of this movement, just this flowing sensation of shoulders weightless moving up towards the ears. Your hands are completely relaxed. Your face, let it melt. Your legs, let them melt into the earth. And now slowly pour your shoulders down. You're the space. So when I say down, actually pour your shoulders into the space. Yes. And now, what now? Feel your fingers on the edge of your chair or on the floor or in the space, moving into the space in front, slowly. Arms starting to lift off. Don't do it. See or feel that it's happening weightlessly, effortlessly. The arms long. Long fingers touch the faces of your friends in the squares. Long arms through the screen of your computer into the spaces. Rest your arms. But there are no arms, our eyes are closed, there's just this raw feeling. Feel your elbows, your wrists, your shoulders, empty what will be emptied. Top of the head to the ceiling. Breath is free. Say yes. Now the right arm floats up. It's floating up all by itself. It doesn't need the mover. Fingertips push the ceiling. Pause. I am the openness. I don't want anything. I just eat whatever arises. I know there's resistance. Welcome it. In the left shoulder, maybe. Can you drop it a bit more? Now slowly switch right arm, left arm, flowing down, flowing up. Breath is free. Feel the field all around. You let the body radiate into the field all around, even if it's intense. No psychology. Feel the back of the neck. Long. Yes, and now the arms coming back down slowly, slowly, slowly. Discovering how it happens. And then let the spine curl and round itself. Collapse the skeleton. Long inhale, long exhale. And then organic, feel a line of energy from the pubic bone drawing up. Don't feel you have to push. Maybe your hands come to the back of the body. And then just a very effortless elongating of the spine, the torso. maybe a little bit of an arching between the shoulder blades. Stay very sensual, very tactile. Never feel that you're a thing or that this body is a thing. Yes, the torso comes back. Now turning, the torso turning towards the left side like a ghost. Slow. And now towards the right. Alive, free, and towards the left. Be this field, and then there's this ripple. And towards the right. No right, no wrong, nowhere to go. Now back to the center. And then the head and the neck tracing a circle. But you feel the totality of what arises. Feel this body is easeful. Now the other way. Trust the movement, that it happens without forcing or pushing. And the breath too. Yes, and then the head comes back. Slowly we're going to come to standing. Take your time. Your eyes closed if you can. Go gently, maybe a stretch on the way, a massaging of the legs, of the hips. A pushing away of the cushions. Maybe taking your socks off, whatever feels right, and then just standing. Ah, the body, the new landscape. The feet, the earth, the whole body, the standing landscape. Don't have any knowledge, any visual, just the raw. The raw feeling, not knowing. Maybe your knees a little bit bent. Feel that I don't live in a body bag. So yes, there's a feeling of being this body. A feeling rather of beingness that is associated with the body, but allow that feeling of beingness, that feeling of body to fill as much space as it wants. Allow the body beingness feeling to include the earth and the space all around and the breath. And the movements, just see that there's movement right this moment. Very small movement, perhaps, to begin with. Don't impose movement, just allow movement. Life is movement. So maybe the weight is moving from one leg to another. The torso is beginning to feel more like a plant in water. Just listen for the movement and let it unfold. Let it colonize more of your body. Or rather, let your body discover that it is movement. Let your body discover that it is life itself. And the music will start soon, and you just let the music carry the flow of movement. Trusting your impulses moment by moment. Trusting that whole body can move. The dance is coming from the center of the cosmos, from the center, the invisible center. Let it come. There's no right, no wrong, no need for it to look any way. You have no idea, just surrendering. Trust your life. She knows. Let her take you. Let her take your body. Infinite space all around the body, all around this flow of movement.
divine.
Stay with the movement. Slowly the movement, more subtle, more internal. Trust your hands. They're imbued with prayer. Gently, with Ganga's voice, with her guitar, moving back towards silence, the body towards stillness. Silence and stillness. Feel that that's the same place, silence and stillness. Just the coming and the going of the breath. No, nobody breathing, just the flow, the dance of breath in the field. Give your attention to the field of openness that sustains life, breath that gives rise to life, to movement, to breath, to all things. She is invisible, this presence, but yet she imbues every millimeter of our experience. She is our reality. She is the place of origin, from where this in-breath rises, and the place of return, and she is the trajectory of every breath, of every dance. Whether that dance is a dance of hiding and separation or revealing in celebration. Feel your breath flowing through your nose, moving your belly. Let it permeate the body, your sense of being, with beingness. Let every in-breath be a big yes. Beingness permeating the body, the infinite being permeating the limited being. Make sure that this in-breath touches those corners of your experience that are crouching in the shadow. The out-breath is a different movement. It's a movement of surrender, dissolution. Feel that. Just feel the out-breath. Let it teach its teaching. I put words, but really, the teaching is direct. And somehow feel the place at the bottom of the out-breath, that moment before the next in-breath. Like a pool of peace. and feel that you are that peace, and that in the midst of the in-breath and the out-breath, you remain as the peace. You do both. You remain as the peace, and you rise as the breath, and you fall as the breath, and you remain as the peace. Don't do anything, just abide together. Thank you. Gently you can open your eyes. Have a look who's here. Hello. Hi, Ambra. Nice to see your face. It's so lovely. Hi. Who's here? Claire, are you new? Is it first time? You can say yes with your head.
That's scary. I've been one other time.
Okay. Nice to see you again.
Thank you. Nice to be here. Thank you so much.
Okay, guys. Butterfly's already got a question. Butterfly Ambra, where are you? I've lost you now. Mm-hmm. Oh, there you are. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
So I feel split in two. One part of me feels the spaciousness, and that yes, everything is okay and everything is perfect, and the other part is feeling, I mean, the other part with the separate self is very mad at me and very crunched into being mad at me with the feeling that I screwed up something. And so it's very strange to navigate between these two levels. And I don't really find my way to, I mean, sometimes I feel the spaciousness and I feel whatever arrives, whatever is perfect. It's just, and the other side is the, wants to find a reason and why and meaning and feel absurd and feel no.
I understand, Alvra. I can only speak from my experience. I don't have a magic recipe, but I think what you're naming is important, very important. And that aspect, so obviously touching the peace and the presence, that so that's great. And then there's this other aspect of experience that is still demanding attention, is still, there's still some stuff, there's still some layers, some, and I, in my experience, I think two things. One, it's very important to at times disregard completely the content of experience and touch and explore and feel this peace, this the baseline of your reality, to really, since you have, you're a lucky one to have had a glimpse of that, to be drawn to that, then you go as often as possible and sit in meditation in the presence of some guidance, and to, you know, like shower you in it as much as possible. And these layers that you're describing of negativity, of suffering, of personal, historical, they may need more attention. And here I don't have a one, you know, in my experience, working with a therapist is helpful when you find the right therapist, or with a friend, but finding a space where you can speak and tell the story and let the story come up, but not in a didactic way, or not in a way that is driven by a desire to be free of it, but more in an exploration and sharing context, that can bring a balm to these layers of trauma that have never really been met in a more relative way, in a more personal way. Because yes, they're met when you're in meditation, everything is met and everything is, but somehow we need to also work, not work, I don't like that word, but we need to explore on at the level of the person. And there I feel like you need maybe a context, a relationship. And I'm sure you know, you probably have explored that, Amber, but maybe, you know, maybe it's time for another modality or going deeper. I don't know. But I wouldn't, don't draw the conclusion that you're failing on the spiritual journey. It's not a failure at all. It's an invitation maybe to go deeper.
I don't have the feeling I'm failing on the spiritual way, or, you know, I don't have this kind of standard, or that okay. I feel my perplexity is around, there is something in me that seeks meaning, that feels that it's
that seeks meaning.
Yeah, why there is this absurd that I make such mistakes. And the other sense is saying, but no, everything is perfect. So there is,
well, okay,
addiction,
yes, on the absolute level everything is perfect, and on the relative level it's totally valid to seek meaning. There's nothing wrong with seeking meaning. In other words, we, each one of us, you know, we have somehow a trajectory. We have, you could say we have a soul. I mean, soul, we don't exactly know what that means, but we each have a kind of divine purpose, but as humans, as persons. And so it makes sense to seek what, you know, to ask ourselves, why, first of all, why am I always in this situation? Why? And then you have to go and, or what is this feeling telling me? Or what is this situation that feels like a prison or like, or very difficult? What, why, what is it? And you have to trust that there is a purpose, a meaning, and then you go on a quest. It's the hero's journey, you know. You find it in all the myths, in all the cultures. You are a hero, Ombre, heroine, on a journey, you know, we all are, and we all are, have our task, our task of tasks, which we don't know. We all have to go ask the question, which we don't know what the right question is, you know, like in the Grail. I mean, and it, when we read the myths, it's amazing and it's grandiose and fantastic. But in our little humble stories, it's mediocre and ordinary, and but still it is important. And then, so that's why we need guidance. Sometimes, you know, in my experience recently, dreams can be very helpful to trust that The waking state thinking is very mechanical, very habitual, and quite limited. But if you start to tap into maybe your dreams, or maybe creatively, or writing, or poetry, or something that's a little bit looser, you then tap, you find that intelligence, and you find something, some oxygen, some direction, some inspiration. But sometimes that means that you have to move out of depression or negativity, and it's not easy, or addiction. So we have to take the help that comes our way, and it does come, I think. Well, I does that help a bit, Ombra? Yeah. Okay. Nice to see your face. Really lovely. Sophia.
Hi.
Hi.
Some lyrics are flowing. It has something to do with my difficult relationship to the body. And I just want to share it with you. It's okay, it's okay, it's okay. I don't want anything from you. It's okay, it's okay, it's okay. I don't want anything from you. You are like you're supposed to be, and you are free. And I am free. You are how you're supposed to be. And you are free. And I am free. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay.
Just, Sophia, keep your eyes closed. Something happened and I got disconnected and muted. I'm not sure what happened. Sophie, are you with me? Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know if I was saying that I felt that you, sorry, it's a shame that.
I heard you say like something like close your eyes or something.
I said, close your eyes, and I said that in offering your lyric, I felt you were also offering the feeling of sadness from all the years and moments where it's not okay, it's not been okay, it's not felt that way. So it felt like such a layered offering. And
Yeah.
thank you for being courageous.
Thank you.
And that sadness, it needs space. It's ancestral and collective. And it is okay. Thank you so much, Sophia.
Thank you.
Thank you. Wonder why my Zoom, Eugene, all of a sudden I was muted and I disappeared. It must have been some demon that didn't like what was happening because it was powerful. Anyway. Go ahead, Keith.
Oh, hi. I'd like to thank Sophia. Because when you said it was okay, it's all okay today during the meditation, I felt so much rage and hatred, and it's not okay because a lot of grief was coming up when my partner died about 3 years ago. And for some reason, I think it's because it was similar weather this time of the year. She was in hospital and she'd had this horrible operation that she never recovered from. And there was a moment where the nurses were changing a dressing. And they wanted us, Sarah wanted us to kill her. She didn't want to live. I think a nurse asked, "What is there anything you want?" "I want you to kill me." And somehow when Sophia sang that, I could just about have a feeling that somehow, even then, everything was okay. I don't know why. It doesn't make any sense.
Good. Doesn't need to make sense.
I think it's something maybe about my ability to survive that time, because I think I'm still, you know, recovering and processing.
Who was it? I didn't get who it was.
My partner.
Oh, your partner. Wow, Keith. Yeah.
Somehow there's, yeah, I think I'm realizing it's something to do with my years of practice, and some challenging things happen and I discover some deeper strength that I didn't realize I had and was possible. So I think it brings that out as well.
Yeah,
that there is somehow an okayness possible even in, it doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't. But somehow, even in the worst situations, it seems to be nevertheless be possible.
Yeah. It's all possible, but it doesn't mean we don't get to... It's all possible, but we don't get to avoid it or experience it. And it's layered and it's not rational and it's not chronological and it's very... I don't know what, very beautiful, ultimately.
Well, that okayness and touching it seems to allow the feelings to be felt even more, but that allows them to flow through and away as well.
Yeah, but I suspect you heard in Sophia's voice her sadness too.
Totally.
So it was both the okayness of the lyric sung in the lyric and the sadness.
Yeah. Both together. Both together.
And the togetherness of us.
Yeah.
And the field that we try to touch and, you know, it's everything. Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to honor that as well because I felt actually really, I was feeling really hesitant to be so raw. but it felt like it had to be done in the spirit of what we're doing.
Yeah. No, it's very, I like, you know, I encourage you to share like this. And for us to find that line where we don't fall into indulging feelings to the point where we're, you know, reasserting, and yet we do acknowledge the feelings, and we do acknowledge the body, and this love, this loving field. Thank you for sharing, Keith.
Thank you.
That's what I do. Where's your cat? She can lick you.
It's a he. Oh, I think he's outside, probably in my summer house.
Okay. Take care this evening. Go gently, okay?
Yeah.
We'll think of you. We'll think of you. Ian, is it your first time, Ian Briceland? Is it your first time? Welcome. Well, Coco, whenever you, if and when, you're welcome to bless us with your offering.
Hi, Ellen.
Hi, Coco.
Hi, everyone. This always feels like such a privilege to be here. It is. During the music today, beautiful. I noticed that, you know, my hands so frequently do this, you know, in movement. And the thought came in, there you go, Corinne. You're always asking for something. You're always asking to be filled or to be emptied, or you're always just asking. And then I thought, how curious. That's, you know, you know, could you see, you could see it as a gesture of offering just as well as asking. I don't know, I loved it. I loved that. Right then, because isn't it simultaneous to offer all these ideas of what I think I want or don't want, and just to accept what is here, just to accept what is here exactly, you know, and to offer at the same time. So I just. This. And
the giggle is very key here.
Well, it's perfect too, because I didn't know which poem, but this poem informs that. So it's called Standing Deer. And it's
go slow, okay, Coco?
Can you hear me all right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Standing deer. As the house of a person in age sometimes grows cluttered with what is. I'll start over.
Oh, you're so cute.
Standing deer. As the house of a person in age sometimes grows cluttered with what is too loved or too heavy to part with, the heart may grow cluttered, and still the house will be emptied, and still the heart. As the thoughts of a person in age sometimes grow sparer, like a great cleanness come into a room, the soul may grow sparer, One sparrow song carves it completely. And still the room is full, and still the heart. Empty and filled, like the curling half-light of morning, in which everything is still possible, and so why not? Filled and empty, like the curling half-light of evening, in which everything now is finished, and so why not? Beloved, what can be, what was, will be taken from us. I have disappointed. I'm sorry. I knew no better. A root seeks water. Tenderness only breaks open the earth. This morning, out the window, the deer stood like a blessing, then vanished.
Beautiful. Beautiful, Coco. Who wrote that? You said by
Jane Hirschfield.
Who?
Jane Hirschfield.
You're the sweetest, cutest. That was beautiful. Oh boy. Okay, guys, what time is probably time, more or less? Well, Ganga and me, I mean, I'm doing a 3-day retreat, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Ganga will come and chant, and we might do some kirtan, so feel free to join. Thank you for coming. Feel free to unmute yourselves now if you would like to put your voice out.
Would we just go to your website to learn about that retreat?
Yes, it's on my website. Or it's hosted by Open Circle. I don't know if you, do you know them? So you can go to either website. My website will take you to their website.
When you see the website post, click register and it will lead you to the registration page.
Thank you, madame. Okay, anything else to report? As my husband tells me every morning. That's what he says to me at breakfast. Anything to report? No? Oh, heart from Sophia. Okay, then. Bye, Christiane and Canon. Bye. Bye to Kathleen and to Karen and to Ganga and Remco. Remco, you've been before, right?
Second time.
Yeah.
So I came back.
Great. Well, you come again.
Yeah, I will.
Bye, Rianne. Nice to see you.
Bye.
You've been before. Lots of. It's the same Rianne, right? Except I can't see your red hair.
Yeah. No. Yeah. It's dark. It's dark in here, and I'm wearing glasses today. So.
Exactly. So I was going to
say, but different.
Exactly. All right. Bye, Sean. Nice to see you. And Alice, we can't see you, so I'm not sure if you're behind that funny thing. But lots of love if you are. And who have I not named? Hilka.
Thank you
for coming. You're always here, Hilka. It's so sweet.
And for me, my pleasure.
Yeah. Okay then. Bye all.
Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Ganga. Thank you so much.
Bye. Bye.